Can you say the letter C?
CNC Hunt Files.
All right, we are live. Boy, I got a freaking badass one today. Pennsylvania's most notorious rifle / spotlight queen. I got Rachel Bujdak, but first, let me run through who makes this podcast go. We got Grizzly Coolers. They make coolers big enough to throw Rachel in, which, well, actually, that's not that good of a marketing ploy because Rachel's not that big. They make coolers big enough to put an elk and Rachel in. I have a 400. It would easily handle Rachel, a dog, plus a whole quartered out bull. I use the Drifter 20 a lot, the Grip Cup. WCB is the code. Check them out. I've got a, I think it's a 15 or a 20 hard. That's coming. I'm pretty stoked about that. Throwing it in the combine on the tractor. I think Austin runs that one. So pretty stoked to get my hands on that one. Yeah, just pumped to have them on. Great coolers, great bunch of guys, located right over there in Iowa. So Black Ovis, WCB10 is the code there. You guys have heard me talk about them. You see me wear the stuff. Pretty much self-explanatory. If you're not a Black Ovis member, go become one. Buy stuff, earn points, use the points to redeem, and you can buy more stuff and not spend as much money. Again, WCB10 is the code. I know everybody knows I use a lot of their stuff. I've been using a lot of their stuff. I think Rachel and Andy use some of their stuff. I know right now they've got some really kick-ass deals on Sitka and Crispy. Crispy's got new boots out right now. I finally can showcase the altitudes that I tested and did some stuff with last year. I'm now able to showcase that. Those are badass if you're in the market for a lightweight early to maybe mid-season boot. Not insulated, but just a super athletic boot. Man, I can't wait to go kick mule deer and elk's ass with those boots. Yeah, it'd be a great boot for that. Yeah, check those out. Those are the altitudes. They've got a couple others. Go on their Instagram or their website. I know, like I said, Black Ovis has some stuff going on right now with Crispy as well as Sitka. With that being said, Hunter's Box Club, don't forget to check my boy. Well, actually, I should say my dude, Devin, out over there, Hunter's Box Club. I'm stoked to partner up with those guys. I know they've got a really sweet box coming out this month, so if you haven't become a member yet with them, check them out. And also, last but certainly not least, the homies over at Novix. Whether you need platforms, steps, sticks, stands, or just want to drink a bunch of beer with a bunch of cool dudes, Novik's the place to be. I ran all their hang and hunt stuff this year, killed the giant eight out of it, did a hang and hunt that day in like negative 22 degree weather. So they're quiet, they're comfy, worked for me in the cold and the snow. It's light enough to where even Rachel's little ass could pack them around, so that should tell you something. In fact, I think Rachel or Andy run some Novix stuff, if I'm not mistaken. So
we do. I was going to say, it's light enough even Bitty Boosh can do.
See,
it.
See, even Bitty Boosh, there she is. There it is, you know? And I mean, Andy's not a super huge human either. So if those two are able to, you know, I mean, there you go. That's all you need to really know right there. Bitty Boosh approved. Go get you a Novix hang and hunt setup. Get four minis, get four longs, hell, mix and match. I mean, I don't really care what you do. Just pick up some Novix stuff and you'll be happy and you'll say, Clint, damn, you're not as dumb as you look. Anyways, with that being said, I'm going to turn the mic over to the notorious B.I.G. herself, the straight killer, who's a for sure thriller, the spotlight queen from Pennsylvania herself. The only woman I know that somehow shoots $4 in the great state of Pennsylvania and doesn't get caught. Rachel Bujdak, everybody.
Come on. You're giving a bad impression on me already.
Oh, hell. Everyone knows they don't follow rules and regulations in Pennsylvania. No one does it, so why should you?
Oh God.
Rachel, how the hell you doing? It's been a minute. I mean, we talk a lot, but it's been a while since I've heard your beautiful voice on a podcast. I'll be not going to lie. I'm kind of sad Andy's not here. Everyone knows I have a big crush on Andy. That would be Rachel's husband. I kind of like to think of Rachel as kind of like the third wheel, the side piece. I'm more of, you know, Andy's flavor, but hey, he lives with Rachel. I live here in Ohio with the boys. So therefore, that's just kind of how we got to work it right now. But don't be fooled. Andy and I are pretty much the one and two, and Rachel's the third, but it's fine. You're a good third wheel.
I've pretty much come to terms with the fact he's going to leave me for you. And I mean, you know, I am the better looking one of this throuple, but
debatable.
You got more land and you live in Ohio, so well, I don't blame him.
I mean, you're probably going to leave Andy for Doug at some point anyway. I mean, the mustache pretty much has...
Have you seen him lately?
Oh.
Like, he looks like Doug.
I know. I mean... Everyone needs to go. Did you post a picture of that?
I don't think I have. I sent it to the Snapchat group.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, Andy definitely does sort of look like Doug now, which is very ironic. But anyways, without further ado, we just have Rachel. There's no Andy today. But, well, I got to start with the turkey right off the rip because it is turkey season. Yeah, you just smashed a good one. Give me a quick rundown. I know you were... had some close calls. I know you've been out with the bow. I know, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, you said you could have smacked this one with a bow, correct? If you had it?
I could have. Yeah, I actually didn't take my bow out at all this year. It was opening day I got that bird. Our season didn't open till April 30th.
Oh, gotcha. I must have got confused when you said you could have killed it with a bow. I thought you had already been out a couple times with your bow. My mistake.
Yeah, no, but I could have. Yeah, he was really close.
Dang.
I know. So actually, opening day, I went out with my brother in the morning.
Oh, nice.
And we heard some birds off the roost, but they shut up like before daylight and couldn't figure out why. And then pretty soon we see two guys walking out of that area. So I think
nice.
They kind of messed it up. And so my brother went in. He's like, screw this. I'm going to go work out. And I mean, neither of us are huge turkey hunters. It's more like just something to do. In the spring, you know, it's been a long winter, excited to just be in the woods. So, I ran up, you know, got some gas station breakfast and went back out.
Nice. The gas station breakfast.
You had to have a Casey's, but you had to
pedal extra on the bike after that.
Oh, yep. Had to earn my breakfast.
That's awesome. For those who don't know,
later.
Rachel's been what? On a... I said, for those who don't know, Rachel is on a big... What do you even call it? A basement cycling kick? I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, after talking to you and you know, seeing... Like, it looks like a pretty badass deal. I'm not going to lie. Like, I kind of want one. I hate to jog... I love to hike and I don't mind like a Stairmaster, but like, I don't know, just running, jogging. I just get so bored. I just can't get into it. Like I could hike all day, but like you tell me I got to go jog for 30 minutes and I want to like fucking break my legs off and beat myself with them. But the bike, I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of intrigued. And after listening to you and talk about it, I'm kind of digging that thing. I kind of want one, I think.
So I got a funny story about the bike. It's not a Peloton. It's like a Peloton, but it's just a cheaper brand.
Oh, it's just not $46,000 fucking dollars like a Peloton is, which is astronomical, but I could buy an apartment for that.
And honestly, like, I like the features better, and not that I want to spend all this time talking about a bike, but I've, you know, just trying to get rid of some winter weight and get in shape for our elk hunt this fall.
I was going
to
say, it ties right into what we're going to talk about as far as elk hunting and stuff, because I mean, let's be honest, you got to be in decent or hopefully good shape to go chase bugling bulls around, or at least if you want to enjoy yourself and not be on the verge of a fucking heart attack every 5 minutes.
Well, that's the thing. You don't have to be in top shape, but like, if you want to enjoy your hunt,
exactly.
You don't want to be miserable suffering, especially me. Like, my legs are like 2 feet long and I'm trying to keep up with, you know, full grown men. So
2 feet long. I mean, you're probably not far off from being accurate there, but I mean, it's just funny.
Oh, right? I know. the bike is funny because I've been riding it and you can, you can do like classes, but I really like just doing like the scenic rides.
Yep.
And there's one where you can do a scenic ride through like the Canadian Rockies. And so I'm riding through the Canadian Rockies and I see this giant bull like in the middle of the road.
Oh, fuck.
And I was yelling for Andy so that he would come like check it out. And I'm yelling, elk, elk, from the basement. And he thinks I'm yelling, help, help.
Oh, so my God. He thinks you're in trouble.
He comes flying down the stairs like, what's wrong? And I'm like, let's dig out.
Maiden in distress.
So, yeah, I mean, normally I'll turn on an episode of WCB and ride an hour on the bike, and it's just a killer workout.
No, it really is. I mean, yeah, I mean, and everyone tries to find, like, I love to go to the gym and, you know, but I mean, it's just tough. Like right now between work and farming and the kids and writing and the podcast, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. Like it's a fucking struggle to get to the gym a couple days a week just because when I got to go at night and it's like, after I get all that done, even when I do go, I mean, it's just tough. Like it's just hard because you're just dead. I mean, like you're trying to pump yourself up. But like, my thought is to get one of those and like ride in the morning. Even if I do 30 minutes then, 30 minutes at night, like whatever. But yeah, you do a solid 30 to an hour on that damn thing. I mean, you're freaking, I've rode some and I mean, it's a workout. I mean, you are burning freaking calories. There's no doubt. Yep. But
yep. I'll burn usually 600 calories an hour. I usually do it 4:30 in the morning because I sit at a desk all day for work. And by the time my day's over, like everything's just tight and it hurts and I don't feel like working out. And I mean, yeah, like we live out in the country. It's like a long drive to the gym. So it's just easier to go down the basement. No excuses. Get your workout in, you know?
Absolutely. So, I'm not. I,
anyway,
I was going to say, I have no idea how we just got on a fucking a bike kick.
Back
but,
to the turkey.
Yeah, back anyway. Yeah.
So I went back out and, you know, now it's like 10:30 in the morning.
Oh, perfect time. My favorite time.
Up. Yeah, I mean, it's finally warm. It was a real cold morning. It was finally warming up. And that sun hit me, and I just wanted to close my eyes and
take a little nappy.
I was about to nap. I hear a gobble way off in the distance. So I'm like, oh, better do some calling. And he gobbled one more time, and I could tell he was, you know, he'd cut the distance about halfway. So I'm like, he's coming.
Oh shit!
And next thing I know, I mean, he's at 20 yards and came right to the decoy and game over. So I mean, he wasn't a giant bird or anything, but and you know what's funny is I say, like, I don't really care about turkey hunting, but I was kind of bummed to punch my tag first day because I'm like, well, now what? Like, I want to be out in the woods, you know?
Right.
So, but it actually was cool because the week before that, we have a youth mentored hunt.
Right.
And my niece is 10 years old.
That was awesome.
Andy and I, oh my God.
Yeah. I was pumped when I saw the photo.
Oh, it was the best hunt of my life. And again, like, don't really care about turkeys, but to see a 10-year-old girl, her excitement and just how proud she was. And she did so good. I mean, that time it was like 34 degrees out, you know, we had no cover yet. Nothing's green, you know, no blind.
Right.
And she sat so still. I mean, Andy sat behind us like 20 yards calling and I kind of coached her through it. And I mean, it was a good half hour of him working those birds. Four Jakes came in and, you know, she was just so patient. She made a perfect shot. And I mean, her excitement like tops any hunt I've ever had on my own.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's tough to beat when you can watch somebody else, especially like someone, you know, like a kid or someone that's never hunted or, you know, just their first experience, first time. Yeah, it's hard to beat that. I mean, that's definitely tough to beat. I mean, you know, like, and even like full grown men, but just their first experience. Like last year when Devin and I got to be with Kurt and I got to literally watch Kurt kill that mule deer in Wyoming. I mean, that until my kids, till Easton and Keaton start, you know, killing stuff. I mean, I don't really know if I'll have one that probably tops that, you know what I mean? Like just watching him struggle and ride the struggle bus for a couple of days and just, everything's kicking his ass up there. And, you know, it was just, yeah, I mean, it's going to take, yeah, I don't really know if me killing anything could ever top that. I'm actually just putting the finishing touches on that story for a feature article in Peterson's Bow Hunting Hunt for Papa Dave, and oh man, like it's yeah, I get
that's gonna be good.
Yeah, I got fucking goosebumps just talking about it, you know. But
Yeah.
going back to that, watching somebody else, you know, that emotion and excitement. Now, yeah, there's nothing better. But yeah, I was super pumped whenever you sent me that photo of your niece, and she's 10 and probably taller than you and bigger feet and weighs more than you and whatnot. So, which is pretty funny.
She's 10. She's already taller than me. I wear a size 5 shoe. She wears a 7.5. Like, it's ridiculous. I can't even give her my hand-me-downs anymore.
That's funny. Do you want these shoes? Yeah. Sorry, Aunt Rachel. I can't really fucking wear them. Yeah. Sorry.
She thinks it's hilarious.
I mean, it is pretty funny. I'm not going to lie. It's funny to hear, like, Andy talk about it, too.
I just gave her my first bow.
Oh, so nice. Hell yeah.
She's going to get into shooting a bow, and, you know, hopefully someday we'll get her an archery deer.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool that the fire's kind of lit now. That turkey freaking probably just set the world on fire for her, so that's badass.
Yep.
I'm hoping to I got a couple days left where I can get Easton out and hopefully see if I can't work that same magic. But he just turned 6, so he's got plenty of time. But, man, I'm like, oh, God, I'm chomping at the freaking bit for him to freaking kill a bird or kill a deer this year. Like, oh man, I can't freaking wait. Like, I'm 1,000 times more excited, I think, than he is, but it is what it is.
Yep. And it's cool to see them just hiking around the woods with you. And like, you can tell they're passionate about it.
For sure.
Cause you know, you can't force them to like it. And it's just so exciting to see that they have that passion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. You definitely can't force it. I mean, that's when you ruin somebody, or especially kids. Yeah. You start forcing stuff on them. That's no good, but no, that's awesome. Well, congrats on the bird. I was stoked to see you. I guess I didn't realize it was opening day, but fuck, opening day success. Didn't waste any time. Now you got mushrooms you can look for, and you can help guide your husband to one, I guess. That's pretty much where you're left now.
That's the plan. I should have took my bow, but I had literally just swapped out my sight, moved my peep. Like, I'm messing around with everything, and I just wasn't dialed in, so I didn't take it.
Doing some tinkering, getting ready for, you should draw an elk tag this year, shouldn't you?
We're getting over-the-counter tags in Colorado.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So that leads right into where I wanted to go with this. Right. That's, ooh, over-the-counter. High country unit or plains? Or, I mean, I don't give away your unit, but just like some high country stuff, dark timber, or are you guys hunting some desert? Or
no, we're not super high country. We're gonna be I think around 8,000-9,000 feet.
Oh yeah, you're still gonna be in some that's still dark timber, high country shit.
It's kind of a good mix. It's like edge of some dark timber, the unit we're going in, and I'm pretty excited about it. It's just me and Andy and our two dads. So
that's awesome. Well,
this is going to be the first year. You know, we went elk hunting 2018, I think. No, 2019? 2019 was my first year elk hunting in Montana, and I thought it would be like a once-in-a-lifetime trip. You know, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of time. But I just fell in love, and we've been back every year since. So I've been to Montana 3 years in a row, 19, 20, 21, and then this year we're going to go to Colorado. And all 3 years we went to Montana, we went, you know, public land, general tag. And this year in Colorado, we're actually going on private land with a guide, which I've never hunted with a guide. I never thought I would. I don't have anything against it. I just,
expensive.
And I really like that, like, do it yourself, like rewarding feeling and learning and being in control of your own hunt. But, it kind of fell in our lap. We, you know, it was a mutual friend. We got a good deal on it. And it was kind of one of those things where, you know, speaking of Papa Dave, like, you just see, you know, how important it is to kind of have those experiences with your dad. And we wanted to have a special trip, just us and our dads. You know, my father-in-law is 68, my dad's 60. You know, it'll be nice for them to have, you know, better accommodations and, you know, be able to sleep in a real bed at night. And so it's kind of, I think this will kind of be a once in a lifetime hunt for us.
Right.
In that sense, because most of the time we are going to want to do it more on the cheap end. And do it ourselves. But
No, for sure. Well, that kind of leads right in. I mean, you're pretty well-rounded when it comes to, woodsmanship skills and knowing just flat out, for lack of a better term, what the fuck you're doing in the whitetail woods. I mean, you're no stranger. I mean, you get it done pretty much every year on a good buck or better. I mean, you've killed a couple freaking slammers, which would be slammers for anywhere, but absolute super slammers for PA, because you guys right next door to us here in Ohio, I mean, you guys just don't have the amount of 140, 150 plus bucks like what we've got. So, it's been pretty impressive to get to know you and become good friends with you and Andy and see what you guys have been able to kill. And especially you, because it's funny, you and Andy, like, you guys love each other, but it's almost kind of like a competition in hunting season. Like, most people would probably think, oh yeah, she kills these big bucks, Andy's freaking help. Like, I mean, not that Andy won't help you, but like, you pretty much do your own thing and that's how you like it. Andy does his own thing and that's how he likes it. And like, it's really cool to see someone like you, a woman in the industry, that's like, hey, I'm married, got a husband, he hunts, he knows what he's doing, but yeah, we just kind of do our own thing. Like, I kind of do my thing and he does his thing. And like, if you need help from each other, absolutely, like, you're each other's biggest fans. But by no means is it like a, hey, I'm Rachel and I got Andy hanging my stands and Andy checking my cameras and Andy doing this and Andy, I mean, like, you love to do that shit on your own, and you were doing that on your own before Andy, and were hardcore into it. So when you told me you were going to start elk hunting, I'm like, oh man, she's going to get ruined, because everyone tells me, oh no, I'm only gonna go hunt out west one time, elk or mule deer, antelope, and I'm just gonna do it once. I'm like, I said the same fucking thing, and here I am obsessed with western big game bow hunting. And I knew when you guys went out there, I'm like, oh yeah, they're gonna fall in love with that. And I mean, it was funny because I got to hear you like talk about your hunt right after it. And I mean, I could just tell, like, the fire was lit. Like, you could just tell, like, you loved every aspect of it. And it's a fucking brutally tough hunt for an adult man, let alone a female who, like you've already stated, you're not very tall. And people probably laugh that we go back to that, but when you're walking through dark timber, when you're packing a bull out, when you're packing a head and cape out and antlers, like, you are at a major, major, you've got to work twice as hard at everything you do out there compared to like me or Andy. Twice as hard. Everything you step over, everything you climb, everything you do, like, so it's been really cool to see you navigate from, because you're still hardcore whitetails for sure, but like, you've got a fucking burning passion for elk, which like, I love to see it, because I mean, everyone knows I love chasing freaking bulls and bucks out there. Mule deer and elk for sure are, that's pretty much overtaken my world for the last 5, 6, 7 years. But it's tough, like I said, for anybody. It's extra tough with your stature, the way you're built, and it's like, but that hasn't slowed you down, hasn't stopped you. Like, do you feel like that has made you more hungry for success? Like, just break down, I guess, what makes you tick? Like, why have you navigated to elk hunting as far as like, that's like this fucking burning passion that you've got now, and it's something new. You've only been doing it a couple years, but I can just tell. And people are going to be able to listen to whenever you talk about it. Like, you've got a major passion for elk hunting, learning about it, figuring it out. You're working out because of it. Like, what do you think has created that, or what's caused it? I mean, because you're addicted to the grind for it, and I love to see it. It's awesome to see you so stoked and so focused on, this new style of bow hunting, something you've never hunted in your whole entire life up until what, 2018 was your first year hunting elk?
2019 was my first year hunting elk.
2019.
And yeah, I mean, I didn't even bow hunt. Like, I've hunted my whole life,
Right.
what, 23 years now, and or more, I don't know. And I didn't bow hunt till 2014, so I've only been bow hunting 8 years. And then 19 was the first year we went out west, and I talked to you prior to that hunt
Yeah.
and kind of picked your brain on some things, and I think it was really helpful just to set expectations and know I'm going
Right.
to a, public land, and there's going to be a lot of pressure, and just learning about where elk live, how to find them, how
Yep.
to call them, or just how to pick a
Yep.
campsite. Like, I
Oh
remember
yeah.
calling you on the way out, like, hey, here's a couple ideas I had for campsites.
Yep.
Like, this is what I'm concerned about. And so there's just so much to learn. And then you work all year long to prepare for 1 week hunt.
Oh yeah.
And there's just, I don't know, the pressure. I like that, I think.
Yep.
And
Yep.
I don't know that it's like self-inflicted pressure. Like,
Yeah,
I
oh
want to
yeah.
succeed.
Yep.
And, but I love that. And that fuels me like just all summer, putting on
Yep.
my pack and hiking, or, tinkering my bow and my arrow, building arrows for elk. And, I think once I had killed several nice bucks with my bow, like, and had that confidence, okay,
Yep.
I can shoot enough poundage, and I can, build an arrow that's gonna take down an elk. And once I got that confidence up, I'm like, I want to do this, and I've never been out west, and so it was just such a cool experience the first year. But I was glad I had those expectations of, like, I know success rates with a bow are like
Right.
10%. I
Oh, yeah.
know that I'm probably not going to kill one, and my goal that first year was to get one in bow range.
Yep.
And we did. Andy and I hunted. It's funny because Andy and I never hunt together a
Right.
whitetail, like,
Right.
ever. And we hunted together the whole time for elk, obviously. It's a lot easier calling and whatnot. And we had three elk, three bulls in bow range that first year, and just couldn't get a shot off. I mean, wind switch. Actually called another hunter in as I was at full draw.
Nice. You should have stuck his
Yeah.
ass.
I know.
I'm
But
kidding.
I
I'm just
mean, like,
kidding. No one turned me in for fucking talking about murdering another hunter on the freaking podcast. I'm just joking.
that hooked me right there of
Yeah.
just being on the ground, having a giant animal in bow range, and knowing, like, I went to this unit I've never been to before, and just by e-scouting was able to pick
Yep.
a spot on a map and
Figure it
find an
out.
elk.
Yep.
And like, I gotta go again. I know if I go again, I can kill one.
Yep.
And the second year we went was actually for our honeymoon. And Andy and I, again, we went with, my dad didn't go that year. We went with his dad and one of our buddies, and we drove out separate. So we drove straight through the night to get there, and they were like 8 hours behind us because they stayed overnight. And I remember talking to you on the way out, like, I know I'm going to kill a bull this year. And I don't want to sound cocky because I've never killed a bull, but like, I worked
Oh
so
yeah, you.
hard.
Yep, you were
I knew
hungry. You were
I
fucking
had all these
starving
spots
for it.
picked out. I had plan A through Z. I just
Yep.
knew. And I killed a bull the first morning we were there, like within an hour. I just couldn't believe
Well,
it. Like,
I remember I think it was that trip. I could just tell. I'm like, yep, I'm like, she's dangerous this year because I just made a post the other day and I talked about, when someone's starving or they're hungry for success, they're a fucking dangerous person. I mean, there's people that are like, man, I really want to succeed. I really want to do this, really well. But when you're fucking starving for it, when you are absolutely just enthralled in the moment and engulfed in the process and just so hungry that you can't take it anymore. Starving for success. I mean, that's a totally different animal. And I could tell going into that second year. I mean, you were so close the first year, and that kind of lit the fire. And then it was just like, oh fuck. But I remember I was in Utah and I was grinding it out. Oh my God. I was on like, oh fuck, day. I think I was on day 4 or 5 of chasing that big bull around. So I was right in the middle because I killed him on day 9. I was right in the middle of that hunt. And man, I was dragging. I mean, poof. I mean, people and just moving camp and late night. I mean, I was just beating myself to death trying to figure that bull out and figure that herd out. And we were talking via our inreaches, because I remember I got an inreach message. I can't remember if you had it or Andy, but I remember getting the message, big bull down, baby. And that really, truly changed, I think, my demeanor for the rest of the trip, because I was so like, I didn't have service and neither did you, but we were able to, you know, communicate via that. And, I just remember, you know, I remember getting that on my Garmin, it come through a text, you know, from you. And I was so freaking pumped. I couldn't freaking wait, you know, to see a picture of, you know, you behind this bull. Like, I was just, cause I knew though, you know, I mean, like, I knew you were absolutely just fucking hungry as all get out, you know, yep. to find success. And I mean, it was awesome to get, I'll never forget. Like, I could still picture where I was standing on the side of the freaking mountain and what I was doing, what I was wearing when I got that. Like, that's like a moment etched in time. But, yeah, I could just tell, you know, but I think though, a lot of your success, because for being fairly new to elk hunting, you and Andy have done very well as far as finding spots, picking spots, finding bulls, locating elk, just putting yourself in position. Cause that's the hardest part about elk hunting, is just finding elk. But you guys have done very well with that. And I think a lot of that reverts back to whitetails and elk are two totally different animals, but you guys have taken some of that whitetail knowledge and whitetail philosophies and then put it into play while during an elk hunt, or even during scouting, how you guys are breaking down topos, how you guys are breaking down maps. I think because you guys are very good at doing that with whitetails, it's transferred over. And even though it's a different animal, different habitats, totally different, you know, features, it's still the same process of breaking a hunt down and making plans. And you guys are very detailed on your whitetails, very detailed on food plots, very detailed on trail camera placement. It's very impressive to hear you talk. And I'm not trying to knock women in the industry, but there's very few that I talk to that when I'm carrying a conversation with them, I feel like I'm talking to Austin, or I'm talking to Ross, or I'm talking to, you know, it's me and Kurt talking. Like, I feel like I'm talking to someone that's, wow, you know, they fucking really got this dialed. Like, they know what the hell they're doing. Like, it's not someone telling them where stands are at or where cameras, like, you know, you have a very, very dialed, detailed regimen and strategy for whitetails. And I think that has transpired over into your elk hunting. And I think that's really cool, because living in Pennsylvania and traveling halfway, three-fourths way across the country and finding success, and not even just punch tags, but just finding elk, is freaking hard, really hard. I mean, it's hard for me every year. And, you know, I've been doing the Out West thing now for going on 10, 11 years. And it's still, I get my ass kicked more than I succeed. But, you know, you guys have found success early, super early. And I think some of that transpires over. Do you agree with that, you think? I mean, not trying to say that that's the only reason why you guys have found success, but I do think that plays a part, and it's something that people who have never elk hunted, but they have a pretty good handle on turkeys or whitetails or whatever, I think it's something that they can build some confidence off of. Like, I get it, it's different species, it's a different animal, lives in a different place, but the process of planning, the process of figuring out a piece of ground, of trying to, you know, that whole process, I feel like you guys have taken what you know with whitetails, moved it over, and it's worked out pretty freaking well for you and Andy.
Yeah, and I mean, even to turkey hunting, like,
yep.
having that experience with something as simple as, like, just knowing how to use a mouth call. And, yep. yeah, it's a lot different for elk, but it shortened the learning curve.
Right.
But I think vice versa, too. Like, elk hunting has made me a better whitetail yeah. hunter.
Yep, absolutely.
And where we're at in Pennsylvania, we're in the northwest corner, and it's pretty flat here. We don't have a ton of topography changes.
Right.
We've got a lot of, like, diverse properties that we hunt. Like, some are ag fields, some are swamps, some are just big timber, but there's really not a lot of terrain changes.
Right.
And so I haven't paid a ton of attention to topo maps before I went elk hunting. And now it's like, okay, when I'm hunting somewhere like Ohio, where there is a lot more terrain changes. I think that elk hunting's helped me be a better whitetail hunter too. So, I mean, it's full circle. I think, I kind of lost my train of thought there because I just saw Andy pull in the driveway.
Oh, that stud. I would have lost my train of thought too. That
I see
stud
the mustache
muffin.
When I get all.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Here comes Doug. Wait. Oh, fuck. That's Andy.
But yeah, no, it's definitely made me a better hunter all around. And I appreciate you saying that too, because, you know, I think I've been hard on myself lately. I, in Pennsylvania, haven't killed a buck with my bow in a couple of seasons. And I mean, I've had opportunities, but I think, and I've killed bucks in other states with my bow, but like I've had a tough couple of years in PA, just not getting opportunities on the buck I'm after. And
well, that's what I was going to say is, I mean, just to give kind of a foreword to this, you know, Rachel's not looking for a 3-year-old or, a 2.5 or 3.5 year old 120 inch buck. I mean, you know, you could kill those every year if you wanted to. I mean, mm-hmm. you're at the point in your career of bow hunting where you've killed, you know, I think right at or just a smidge over a 150. You've got some 140s. You know, you have some bucks that are Pope and Young, 130. I mean, you've got a pretty mm-hmm. impressive wall, especially for not being a bow hunter that long. So, you know, just to kind of clear up the muddy water, like you could go kill what anybody else in the state of Pennsylvania would consider a great fucking deer every single year. But to you, you're always chasing the one, which you and I go back and forth on a lot because I'm always hunting a specific buck. And it seems like every year you are typically hunting a specific buck too. So we bounce ideas off each other a lot. And I feel like I know a lot of your deer, you know, a lot of mine, because we both kind of play the same game, but in your state, it is definitely harder and more challenging. You guys have your bow season is wacky. It goes in, comes out, comes in, goes out. Whereas our, you know, there's a lot more, what's the word I want to use? There's a higher success rate for a guy like me hunting one buck with my bow to kill in Ohio than there is Pennsylvania for numerous reasons. So, you know, don't shortchange yourself, because I know you are hard on yourself, you know, last few years, but I'm just trying to let people kind of in on, like, you're not just looking for a 3.5-year-old 120 inch deer. You know, you were chasing a buck that potentially would have been a booner for a year or two. You know, one of those other old bucks, I forget what you called him, but he was a big 8 or 9. He would have been a 135, 140 buck. I mean, you know, those are slobs anywhere, especially in Pennsylvania, and they're old mature bucks. And let's be honest, they're hard to come by anywhere, but in your guys' state, it is definitely harder to find that caliber of deer than say like Austin and Ross over in Illinois and Iowa, or, you know, me in Ohio, or Joe over in Indiana. You know what I mean? Like it's harder, you know? So,
yeah,
I mean, it just is, you know, but if you were just looking to go kill a legal buck or just a Pope and Young buck, you could do that every year, you know, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for the most part, I mean, the one, I think 2 years ago, I passed a 120 on opening day.
Yep.
And I never had an opportunity at a bigger buck than that. And
yep.
In archery, I should say. And so I kind of regretted it, but at the same time I didn't, because it's like, it didn't get me excited. And I'm
right.
not going to shoot something that doesn't excite me. And that's where, like, I keep going back to what you always say is don't fucking settle. And if my heart's not racing, I'm not going to shoot it. I don't care what it is, you
yeah.
know? And Andy will yell at me sometimes because he always says age before beauty, where there's times where I passed up 4.5-year-olds. He's like, why would you pass up a 4.5-year-old in Pennsylvania? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't like him. You know, he wasn't the one.
He wasn't the one. He wasn't pretty, Andy. Okay. Get off my balls. Well, you don't have balls. You have boobs. Get off my tits. Okay. I didn't like him. He wasn't pretty.
But I think, you know, starting out as a gun hunter,
yep.
I was kind of spoiled by killing a couple bigger bucks with my gun. And, you know, no denying that is an easier it's easier to accomplish with a gun. But when I started bow hunting,
yep.
You know, a 120 really didn't excite me that much. I mean, yes, it did. And I don't know, I definitely killed some, in that like 110, 120 range with my bow when, you know, first starting out and everything. And I was really proud of that, but I was a little bit more picky probably than I should have been. Like,
Right.
just, I probably should have just, you know, tried to get some repetitions under my belt, but it's like those bucks didn't excite me. And
Yep.
so I am probably a little bit pickier, not because like I need to kill a big buck, but just because like I always want to improve. I always
Right.
want to shoot the best deer that
Yep.
is on our property. And I have a lot of time. That's the other thing, is like I don't like giving up my tag. Like, I enjoy being in the woods. I wait all year for it. And if I killed a buck opening day, I would be sad. Like, I mean, granted, I could go to other states, but PA is a one buck state, and I want to get the most out of my tag. So I'm like you. I really like the late season. I think we're alike in that way with Western hunting, because it's like the physical challenge, the mental challenge, and the late season's the same way.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
cold. You've got to fight that urge to stay in and by the fire, or
Watch
you
football
know,
and
to,
drink beer,
yeah, exactly. But it's like
which I love to
I
do.
love being out there, because you know, PA is such a high pressure state,
Oh,
but
yeah.
nobody else is out there in the late
No.
season.
No.
And when you get those, you know, single digit days
Oh,
or
yeah.
something, high pressure. I mean, I've had some of my best hunts in January with a bow. It's
Yep.
like, I love it.
When Doug texts the group and says the mustache is tingling, and it's cold and there's high pressure and you got a front moving through, it's time to go. You just got to saddle up. Now Andy's got his own mustache, so now you've got basically a built-in weather guy with that thing.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, and it's funny because we hunt all the same properties, Andy and I
right.
do, but we generally have different target bucks.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Like, we're not necessarily after the biggest one. Like, we have different tastes. Like, I think that one's ugly and he loves it or something, you know? So we do everything but hunt together. Like you said, we
Yep.
scout together, we
Oh
shoot bows
yeah.
together, we'll
Well,
hang stands
it's
together.
funny, like this year
But
in shed season, if I remember
oh,
correctly,
stop.
you had COVID or was sick, and Andy's out there just fucking scooping them. I mean, I think he found like 8 or 9 in one day or 7 or something, and I didn't even know. I called the one day, called Rachel, was like, "What's up? What are you doing?" I'm like, "How's Andy?" "Fuck Andy, he found 6 more sheds yesterday. I'm freaking sick. I can't go." And he's out there just scooping them up. And I'm down 9-1. And I'm like, "What do you mean? I found one freaking shed and he's got 9." And I'm like, "Oh, damn." Well, then like 10 minutes later, he comes walking in the door. He's like, "Yeah, Clint, this is what a breadwinner sounds like. This is what the shed master sounds like." And like you could just tell, you know, like you guys love to spend the outdoors together, but like there's certain things where like, oh, it's do or die. It's a competition. Like, absolutely you want to kick his ass in the shed game count. And like absolutely he was living life knowing that he's like 9 or 10 freaking sheds ahead of you. So now every week I'd ask, okay, who's in the lead? And then you started to catch up ground. And then when I would hear Andy talk about it, I could hear like the confidence is shifting a little bit. Andy's getting pissy because Rachel's catching up. And like it's funny because you guys do it all in good fun, but you guys competing with each other makes you both better. Because I know in the backyard when you're shooting bows, it's a freaking to the death competition, 100%. Like I know when you're shed hunting, it's freaking, I gotta find 5 because Andy found 4. But realistically, like it's making you guys better, and you guys do it all in good fun. It's not like, you know, a shed's gonna create a divorce, you know, situation or anything crazy. But it's funny, you know, you guys do everything together, but when it comes to hunting, you know, lots of times I'll be like, "Well, where are you going tonight?" "I'm going over here, and Andy's going to go to this other farm." You know, he's got his own whole different total set of plans, and I just I think that's cool though. You know, I mean, you guys both help each other, but yet Andy lets you do your thing, and he's not trying to like lead you around, like, "Oh, let me show you, let me tell you." Like, no, like you're like, "Hey, man, I'm good. I'm just going to do my thing." Like, that's cool that you guys are like that. You know, or you don't expect him to do all this stuff for you, or basically like guide you to a deer. You're like, "No, man, I got it. Like, I'm good. Like, I'll call you if I'll call you if my bow hook is too high in a tree and I need you to come get it out for me because it's too high. I can't reach it." Like, that's then you'd call Andy.
Yeah, I mean, everything is a
It
competition.
really is. It really
He ended up
is.
winning the shed hunt this
Did
year.
he?
I almost killed myself trying to go out in freezing
I remember
temperatures
that because
when
you were
I was
sick.
still sick. Yeah, oh, I was really sick. But I mean, like you said, it is, we are also each other's biggest supporters.
Right.
And like, if 1 year he killed a buck that I was after, and when he called and told me, I was so happy for, I mean, I was more excited than he was.
Yeah.
And just because I was like obsessed with this buck, and I'm
He was
never,
really
you know, I'm
pretty.
never
He was
gonna
a really
be,
pretty buck.
he was pretty.
He was super pretty.
He was pretty, but I'm never gonna be like jealous. And same
Right.
way, I mean, I feel bad for him sometimes because there were like 4 years in a row where I killed a bigger buck, so he gets a lot of hell for that. But I mean, still, he's happy for me. Even with my bull, like he hasn't killed a bull
Right.
yet, and
Oh, he was
he's still
stoked for
happy for
you.
me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember talking to him on when you guys were on the way back, and oh, yeah, you could tell he was more happy for you than if he would have killed one for sure. But no, that's really cool. So
And
you,
same with this year, like going out to Colorado, you know,
yep.
I mean, we're gonna give our dad's first opportunity,
Oh,
you know,
absolutely. Yeah,
so
you have to
it's,
because, like you said, that might
you
be a
wanna
once in a lifetime
see,
hunt.
yeah, you wanna see them get it. And my dad's killed some good bulls, but with a gun, so you know, I wanna see him get a good one with his bow, and you know, my father-in-law, same thing, so
No, that's awesome. So you guys got that. So you got elk hunt, and then that'll lead right into basically your guys' whitetail season. Now, did you guys usually lease some ground in Ohio? Did you pick up another? You guys got another lease? You're going to be in Ohio again and PA, or just one buck tag this year?
We're gonna hunt Ohio. We don't have a lease. We dropped ours,
Right.
and we haven't found anything else. But I mean, we've got permission on a couple of small places. We've got some public nearby in Ohio that we can get to pretty quickly. So we're still gonna hunt Ohio, and then I think we might be going out to Illinois this year.
Oh shit. Invading
Yeah.
Kurtland.
Yeah, we got permission, actually not too far from Kurt, so I think when we're out for the shoot, we're gonna do some scouting.
Yeah, that'd be freaking that'd be killer. That'd be killer. Now,
Yeah.
is Andy able to go?
Hopefully, we're not using as much vacation for our elk hunt this year,
Yeah.
so he's saving some time to go out to Illinois.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
Yeah,
that's the
that's
thing too, is like once you start elk hunting and you're using all your vacation to go out west, you've got to be more efficient back home.
Oh
And
yeah,
I
absolutely.
think that's another reason, like, you know, I still put a lot of time in, but you know, we've got a what, 6 week archery season, no Sundays, so it's still pretty
Yep.
limited on, you know, your opportunities to get it done back here.
Yeah, no, it really is. I mean, you've got a this is where I think, like I said, you guys living in PA and having, you know, being so proficient at planning and having good plans because, you know, here in Ohio, my season starts the last Saturday of September and goes through the first Sunday in February. The bow season never goes out. Never.
I know, I love your
Never.
seasons, and then no rifles.
Right.
Like, I wish PA would
Right.
do that.
Whereas, like you guys, you know, you come in, then you're out for a while, then you're back in, and it's like, you know, it's a very different game. It's a very different animal. You've got to be dialed if you're going to kill in the first 5 or 6 weeks of that PA season, which I've killed 3 PA bucks, two on public, one on private, and they've all been during November. They've all been in the rut.
With a spotlight from the truck,
Yes,
drinking beer. Yeah.
yes. Well, I wasn't actually drinking it. I had it sat down. It was in the cup holder in a koozie, staying cold. Whenever I pulled out the Remington 700 BDL and fucking let her, I mean, there's nothing better than cracking a good 100-inch PA buck while he's blinded by the spotlight with a little bit of Shenandoah, Two Dozen Roses blaring on the fucking radio. If you are an American, you've done that at least once or twice in your life. And if you haven't done it at least once or twice in your life, honestly, I don't think we can be fucking friends. Once again, I'm kidding. I've never done that before. Someone fucking cancels me out and calls the podcast police and turns me in. That was a joke. Just fucking kidding.
Yeah, there's enough people in PA that actually do that that people might think you're serious. So you do have to clarify.
Well, we are kidding. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I'm friends with some
of them. It's sad. 2 years ago, I mean, that big one you mentioned that was probably a booner that I spent a few years chasing.
Yeah, you were pretty much married to that buck. I think you spent three times more thinking about that buck than Andy possibly ever will get thought about. And that's no knock to Andy, because he's a beautiful man. I love Andy. I'm just saying, that buck was all I heard about for probably the better part of two and a half years. I mean, we could be talking about a crayon that Easton had in his hand and somehow it got turned to the buck.
Well, and that's, I don't know what happened to him. I never found his sheds. No, I mean, you would think if someone would have killed him legally, you would have heard about it.
Oh, 100%. You're going to hear about that. I mean, that would have shook the state of Pennsylvania up.
But that was the same year that these kids got busted shooting deer with a spotlight at night. They found like 22 different dead bucks like in our area. And maybe that's not what happened to him, but I mean, I kind of have a suspicion because, you know, he lived right near a road he was very visible.
What did you call that buck? Start with a G.
Triceratops.
Triceratops. See, I was thinking it was like, I was thinking it was something else, but Triceratops.
That's right. The other one you might have been thinking of, we called Cyclops.
Yeah. But no, yeah. Triceratops. Yep. I know. That's right. But yeah, that buck, I got him confused. One was Ohio. One was, I was spun around.
Yeah. Cyclops,
you know, Rachel's got so many fucking booners running around in every state she's in. I lose track of what's what and who's who and what buck's Andy's, what buck's Rachel's. And, you know, I get confused, but yeah, no, that does bring up, you know, you brought up a really good point, though, as far as those points turning back from elk, you know, to whitetails and whitetails to elk. And like I said, it's really cool, you know, elk hunting's fucking hard. I mean, it's bottom line, and it's been really fun to see you fall in love with that and just be super hungry for it, because it is. It's tough for me at a buck 80. You know, usually in pretty damn good shape for those hunts. Usually the best shape of, you know, the whole year for me is right before I start muley and elk hunting, you know, 5'10", 5'11". Like, I mean, I've got a lot of advantages over you when it comes to the physical aspect of those hunts. And I feel like you love them, look forward to them, work hard towards them just as much, if not more, than I do. And you know going into it, like, it's a suck fest for me, but some of that stuff is a suck fest times two for you. You know, going through like falling down dark timber, for example, people don't think about this, but it's a total pain in the ass for me to lift my legs up another extra foot to get over fallen timber and sneak through dark timber. I mean, you damn near need a fucking stepladder to go through that shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, you know, the amount of... Andy gets mad following me because I'll go under it.
Right.
And then he can't... You know, so I'll pick the path where I can go under.
Right.
And then he can't go under, and he's trying to climb
over. He's trying to go over.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
And, well, that's the thing. And a lot of people, you know, and then like I said, you know, a lot of people, they don't relate how something like being a man versus a woman on some of these hunts, what the obstacles are, the different obstacles, or how stuff can be so much harder. I mean, and that's a case where, you know, it's a disadvantage to you, like going through dark timber, sneaking through dark timber. You've got to either climb over, not step over, climb over or climb under stuff. Shit's charcoaled, shit's black, shit's dirty. Like, I would hate to see what you look like after going through some a burn or some dark timber. I mean, the amount of extra energy and calories that you're burning to do something that I can do in half the effort doesn't sound like a lot, but you stretch that over 7-8 days, there's not a lot of people, let alone females, that want to go fucking do that. I mean, that's just the brutal reality. That's just the honest truth, you know? So kudos to you. It's awesome to see it.
The physical side of it really wasn't as hard. I mean, yes, it is, because I'm short, but it's like, I think, like, conditioning wise, I used to do a ton of running.
Right.
So, like, I was in pretty good shape, but I needed to like build up my strength more than anything. You know, my legs were so tired, but really the physical side, I don't think was as big of an obstacle as the shooting aspect. So
yeah.
Being able to like build a heavier arrow,
yep.
And
stretch your yardage out,
like figure out like what's the maximum yardage where I've
yep.
got enough kinetic energy to kill a bull,
yep.
And how do I maximize that? But then I also want to, like, in the summer, what I'm doing this year is building two different arrows, so
yep.
that in the summer I've got a lighter arrow so that I can shoot 100 yards, because my elk arrow, I max out at about 70 yards, or else my fletching then starts to hit my bottom of my sight housing. So,
yep. But
I want to practice further so that I'm more confident, you know, at half the distance, basically. But like tinkering with my equipment, I think, was the biggest challenge. And
yeah.
then like gear too, like packs. Like I can't just
go
to the store and buy a pack and
right.
try one on. They don't have them around here. I have
yep.
to order one and like hope that it works out. And that's tough, because like I mean you were a big help in like talking about gear and everything like that and strategies and whatnot, but still like there's not really any other like women for me like that have done the same thing that I can really reach out to and run that by. So like my first year I had gear that I just really wasn't that comfortable in, you
yeah.
know, but you got to learn and improve each time.
No, absolutely. And like I said, it's been really awesome to see you grow, not just, you know, as an elk hunter, but just bow hunter in general. I mean, you know, you haven't been doing it that long, and it's been awesome to just see, you know, how into it you are. I mean, anytime we talk about arrows or bows, you're always bouncing ideas. Well, what if I do this and I build these arrows this way, and what's this going to do? You know, I mean, you are constantly tinkering and trying to figure out best case scenario for your equipment, for your setup, you know, just truly a student of the game, and just someone that's constantly trying to be more proficient, figure out how to be better, you know, and that's why success has followed. I mean, your resume for the little amount of bow hunting, honestly, that you've really done as far as years, because you haven't really been a bow hunter that long, it's pretty freaking impressive. And quite honestly, I mean, you know, there's probably a lot of people that wouldn't even believe you, because they'd be like, oh, no way. Like, she's not doing this shit on her own. Like, someone's spoon feeding her this shit. And it's like, you know, I mean, I'm a good friend to you and Andy. Like, I'm vouching, like, you know, I mean, you're the real deal when it comes to, you know, a woman in the industry that's out there doing it the right way and learning and wanting to do things. Hey, you know, if I need help, I got my husband, but realistically, I want to learn how to do it. I want to know how to do it. You know, I want to figure it out. You jump into elk hunting, you know, it's just cool to see that. It's you don't see that every day. Hell, even in men, you know, there's a lot of men that don't want to, they want to cheat the process. They don't want to, you know, grind and scratch and claw and figure it out. You know, they want to just immediately jump from A to Z and go from I've never done it to I know everything there is to know and I'm out here finding success, you know. So it's just been really cool to see you dive into Western hunting, and now it's, you know, it's a whole nother fire lit. And, you know, even if you do kill most of your PA bucks with a bush light in your hand and a spotlight in the other, I mean, hey, I still think you're badass. So, you know, there it is.
Well, it's funny. I still get that a lot. Even just last week, someone said to Andy, like, hey, did Rachel really kill that turkey by herself? Like, yes,
right.
I killed the turkey by myself. It's not that, like, I mean, it's irritating. I know I shouldn't care, but it's irritating because it's like, if I was a man, they wouldn't say that. But
right.
It's like, you know, people... And part of it too, like, motivates me even more, because
oh, yeah.
it's
yeah.
like, yeah, the fuck I can, you know?
Yeah, the fuck I can. Hey, fuck all, hey, watch this.
Yeah. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. And my spotlight. Let me get the rifle.
Oh, God.
Well, I can see the Pennsylvania Game Commission having fun with this
know.
One.
I have a warden at my house again.
Well, tell him to come on over.
When I say again, I had the wardens in my house this fall because I intentionally shot a wounded buck and called it in, and they were really nice about it. So that's the only time the wardens have messed my ass.
Yes, kudos to them. They were cool about that, and kudos to you for taking out a wounded buck that realistically wasn't a deer you wanted to shoot. But that was a cool story, and that was once again just a test to, you know, you as an outdoorsman and a sportswoman in the industry, and you know, like I said, super proud of you as far as what you've accomplished as a hunter and a bow hunter, but more proud to call you and your hot husband Andy two really good friends of mine, and was stoked to have you on. And I know little sneak peek, I think you're I'm not going to say which series, but I'm pretty sure you guys are going to be on a series next week via the WCB. I'm not going to say which one, or but just a little heads up, you guys are going to see and hear a little of Andy and Rachel next week, I think, too.
Andy and his mustache will be making
holy
a video.
Holy shit. Yeah. I can already see Doug being jealous right now. Fuck. This is... Oh, man. And then especially after, you know, his tag season didn't go real well. So now he got this other dude over here that's with his woman that's got a mustache. Basically, Andy is pissing in Doug's scrape saying... Bitch, please, you're not going to do anything about it. I mean, that's honestly, like, that's what's taking place here. Andy is literally right in Doug's bedroom, pissing in a scrape, snort wheezed at him, and he's waiting on Doug to react. I don't know. I don't know how this pans out. I mean, this stay tuned, part two of this podcast series with Rachel. We're going to have to maybe get Andy and Doug on, and it's almost going to kind of be like, what the hell was that crazy... Back when I was a kid, what was that crazy show where the guy would bring on like four baby daddies and then a mom, and then it was like, you know, we got to dissect who's really the dad and who was banging who, and gosh, what the hell was it? It was like, gosh darn it, help me out, Rachel. I'm drawing a blank. It was a huge show, and it was always about. It was always these crazy. You know, oh my God.
This, like Jerry Springer?
Yes, Jerry Springer type shit. I'm going to be him. We're going to have on Rachel. We're going to have on
Doug.
You're
not the father.
You're not the father. Damn it. See? And instead of not the father, it's going to be sorry to either Doug or to Andy. You're not the fucking dominant buck. And that's what it's going to be. Now, mind you. Now, I got to ask this before we sign off. Is the dominant buck always going to be the prettiest buck? Or is that... What if one's the dominant buck, but one's the pretty buck? Then what the fuck are you doing now? Then what?
I don't know.
Yeah, you're fucking stumped on that one. See, I got you thinking now.
I just have a lot of questions. Like, what are they looking for?
Jesus.
Pretty isn't always... I'm not always going for the pretty buck. Sometimes I'm going for the buck with a bunch of junk, you know?
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, we better cut this fucking episode off. Holy hell. Jiminy Christmas. All right, I'm going to let Rachel close it out. You guys know what to do. She's going to close this out. Rachel, thanks for coming on. Love having you on. Love that, like I said, love that... We've been able to, Jesus, you got me all fucked up now by your
love
statement.
You too,
of, yeah, let's just close it out with that. Love you too. Rachel's going to close it out.
Don't fucking settle.
Don't fucking settle. Don't always just pick the pretty buck. Sometimes you want to pick the nasty, gnarly, junk filled buck with junk in his trunk and whatever the fuck she said. I don't know. We're getting off here. We went way down a rabbit hole, but that's what we do. To everybody out there listening, I love you, and let's see. I don't want to give away any names or anybody, but I got some kick-ass episodes coming down the pipe. Stay tuned. I'm going to give a few little sneaks on who's coming up to bat in the next few weeks. A couple guests that have never been on the WCB series or mine, so that's going to be freaking kick-ass. Anyways, stay tuned. Thanks again. Appreciate you guys. Rachel, love you. Talk to you soon.
Love you. Bye.
Can you say the letter C? CNC Hunt Files.